Glory to the house of the Lord. God is good all the time. Amen. So like we heard from the testimonies as well, we're going to have some more testimonies shortly. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Reinald Pieterse. Pieterse, it sounds like an English pronunciation. I'm actually Afrikaans. But I am not the pastor here. That might shock you. Hopefully not. The pastor is taking a well-deserved break on the farm. He went hunting and spent some time with the family, alone quality time, so they are really enjoying it, I believe. And we hope to see them again next week when they are back. But until then, I hope they rest well and we'll see them early. I think they're coming back Tuesday, Monday, not sure. Anyway, most of you may know, or the youth might not know, that we went on a missions trip to Zambia at the beginning of this month when the holidays started. And it was really amazing, amazing trip. And today we're going to share some testimonies as well. And we're going to show you some video clips first. So, Johan, if you can just show us those clips, and after that we'll have these testimonies. Amen. Okay, so we were basically 15 people on a mission for God, going to Zambia, to a small town in Zimba. And it's about 90 kilometers, I would say, northeast of Livingston. And as you can saw, as you saw from the videos, the roads between Shesheke, which is the border post of Namibia and Zambia, to Livingston, which is about 190 kilometers, is really bad. There were potholes everywhere. We were driving at night, during day. It was a nightmare, but through the grace of God, we got there in one piece, not a one flat wheel anywhere, nothing damaged, nothing lost. Everything just went so, so amazing. We had one mishap where the water that we drove along got broken along the way, and our sleeping bags got wet the first night we were in Zimba. So that was quite an experience, so we can tell you what's cold and what's not cold. Amen. But yes, we were six people from Windhoek, and we were seven from Swakopmund. And then there were two people that were in Windhoek previously, but they're now currently local in Rundu. And they joined us from there, and from there we basically went to Zambia for 4 days. And it's literally 2 days of driving to Zambia and 2 days driving back. So we were on the road a lot of the time. But yes, like I said, the journey was very safe, nothing happened. It was amazing, the blessings that we received, just the testimonies that you will hear shortly. And it was just an amazing blessing to go as a church, specifically Windhoek and Swakop and Rundu. And we're going to Rundu in August again to go and bless the people there, because we really feel in our hearts to go and just minister to the people there locally. And we will not take a whole week again. It will not take 2 days driving, only 1 day's driving. So we're really excited. And you have to keep your calendars open for August, because it's really an amazing blessing. But I will get the members of the team to share some. So Herta and Cornelia will share just some of the stories and the experiences. So Herta, now you must go in English. Now it's Afrikaans. Amen.
Hi everyone. Yeah, I'm gonna share about our missions and my personal experience on missions. Well, this was my first missions, and I think it was the best missions ever. Everyone who's went to missions before, those weren't the best. That one was the best. Yeah. Oh, by the way, the ladies that were singing, the ones that were singing when the video started, the first video, that was my cell group. And yeah, they were singing that for us. That was amazing. I forgot the translation of the song. Yeah. And I remember that day when we went to cell and Richard gave the word. No, because he shared a verse with them and stuff. That was the same verse that Carol had preached in the church that morning. And, you know, the people were like, wow, no, God is really trying to say something. Brothers and sisters, we need to listen to God. You know, they were like so ready to just receive the word, you know, and it was really amazing. On one of the days we went to the hospital, as well. Like, we split up. The leaders went for a leaders meeting, and then some went for the town council because it was pronounced a district, right? Yeah. And so they went to pray over at the town council, and we went to pray over at the hospital. And, you know, it was so empty. The hospital was really empty. I was expecting it to be more full than that. But it was really empty, and, you know, we just prayed for the sick, and everyone was just so ready for us. Like, they weren't like, ah, no, yeah, we're fine, or whatever. They were like, yes, please, please pray for us, you know. It was so amazing. Like, God just prepared the way for us all the way. And give me a minute. Sorry, I'm going blank. yeah, the missions really was a great experience. I've never seen people that are so, you know, hospitable. Like, they make sure they, you know, treat you with, they have very good hospitality, let me just say that. You know, they like, make sure you have to see my house. You have to, you know, I have to cook for you. I have to do this. You know, they like go all out just for their visitors. And, you know, when we went to sell that day, they were really ready. They're like, yeah, please tell us. You know, you've come, you've burned fuel for like 2,000 kilometers. Please share the word, you know. And then we ended up actually getting more than they did, I think. I think we, like, they were having so much to say and so much to share. It was really amazing. You know, we've received so much as well, and I think I've grown so much from missions and stuff. I also just, you know, God, yeah, like I shared with Africans in the African service, God has revealed something to me over the missions, and I think I was always like that, like I said. I still mimic people's, you know, identity when I'm with them, and it's not a good thing, because I think I've forgotten now who I am. I don't think I know who I am anymore. I just become whoever it is that I'm with at the moment, and God has, you know, spoken to me and is still changing me. I haven't changed yet. And I'm just gonna keep praying for that. And I think you have to go to missions in Rundu, by the way. Yes, and you know, what you've seen in the videos for me doesn't really cut it, because it's a wonderful experience. Yeah, there was a song when we went in the church. There was a song that they sang to us. You know, when all visitors come and then they welcome us, like the whole church, literally, the whole church comes and shakes every visitor's hand. Literally, the whole church will line up and then they come shake our hands. And even after the service, they shake our hands. And the song goes, no. The song goes, you're welcome in the house of the Lord. You are welcome in the house of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of the Lord. You are welcome in the house of the Lord. So they sing that and they go around.
Amen. Thank you, Arta.
Okay, Cornelia.
I don't think we've ever been welcomed with such a beautiful song. Thank you, Arta. But it's amazing just how praise is in their voices. Like you see in the video, what we also saw is they sing a lot, and praise is just the way of their being. I think we sometimes miss it we only come here to praise and worship, but it's amazing just how, even in greeting, they sing and in a way praise the Lord for the glory that they can see in each other. And also, like Arta was sharing in the first service, the offering basket stands in front, and you can come to the front anytime with your offering. And even then, they don't just quickly walk up, throw it in the basket and then go sit again. They dance all the way to the basket and then dance all the way back, because they are praising the Lord with everything they have. Yeah. Thanks for that. And when Reinhard was saying, like, God is good, and we say all the time, and then he says all the time, God is good. And in Zimba, they end it with, God is good, and that is his nature. And it's amazing, because when they said that, I was just like, wow. We're like, all like, wow. Wow, because I only heard it that they say it the last evening, and then it was just, it was almost in a way a revelation to me, because that's the way they live. You can see in the video that the woman was sharing with, like, they have to be hospitable. They want us to be welcomed. She was sharing from the Bible, and the other guy was translating. But it's such an urgency for them to show God's goodness to other people by the way they welcome you, and they're just warm and welcoming. And it was so important for them to show that. And then also, the one guy was standing and he was saying, like, everybody's coming to me for corn. And he was so proud because God has blessed him with his bumper crop that year. And like Reinhard also said or mentioned, it was a dry year for them, but he's got a lot and more than he needs. And he was just saying, God is so good, he can never be poor. And it was amazing when he said that, because he said, he's got God on his side, so he's got everything. And even in that, God blessed him in the natural. Yeah, so we were really encouraged just the way with what they have, they blessed us. And yeah, like we're all saying, if you can go August. Because it's not, yeah, for you to go and receive. We go here to go and give. But God prepares the way in such a beautiful way that we give to them and they give to you. And I think in a way, like I think Reinhard will share in his sermon, it binds us together. And yeah, even if we are 2,000 kilometers away, we can still call them brothers and sisters, because we are bound in love. And I just want to quickly share, I was not in that cell group I wasn't with the group that heard this message, but they were sharing or discussing this a verse that says that we should be grounded in love. And one of the guys in the village, he just interpreted like grounded, like the way you would ground corn into pup. And he was saying, like, when you start the different, you can have corn or mango, you can have different things together, but when it's grounded, it becomes one thing, it becomes porridge, and it's one color, it's one consistency, and it's just together. And we know porridge, you can't separate anything once it's like thick and together. And it was just wonderful how they interpreted that one word in such an amazing picture, to know that love, and yeah, to be grounded in love, to be mixed together, to work together, to go out on missions together, and to sacrifice of yourself, that grounded can also make us one in a more blessed way. Thank you.
So that's my sermon. Thank you. It's literally the testimonies that they share. It's something that you can almost just stop the sermon there. There's nothing more you can add or just put extra. It was just an amazing experience that God just literally, we prepared our hearts and we went to really give. And that was what's so awesome for me. It was my first missions as well. I've been on many camps and things like that, but missions is really, it's something amazing. It is not something that you can get here sitting in church. It is something that you have to experience, and you have to experience the provision and the blessing of God firsthand, because you just sit there and sit back and just think, Lord, I could not make this on my own. I could not make this situation happen the way it happened. And you just realize that God is in control. And he wants to bless you. He wants to use you. It doesn't matter if you know all the verses in the Bible, or just one verse, or no verses at all. Like Johnny will testify, he went on his first missions and he was clueless. But he came back a changed man, and he realized that God can really build something into you and change you from black into white. And it's just something that he can, it's in his nature. And it's so amazing, the testimonies they shared. I actually wanted to share the grounded in truth, but I actually forgot in the first service, but now Cornelia shared it in anyway, and it was so amazing just the way that they interpreted, and the way that they, how they see it. And it was so amazing how it fits in with what we were sharing as a missions team. And it was so amazing for us because, I mean, God literally blesses you as you go along. And it was something that so stuck in my mind because on the last day, that or the second last day that we were driving back, we stopped over at a lodge or a campsite and we camped there and then we drove back to Rundu. And as we drive back, we basically go through a nature reserve. And then the one guy that was with us basically said, "Lord, and we will see elephants today. Amen." And it might sound simple and stupid, but as we drove, we saw elephants actually crossing the road. Now, that you might say that's coincidence or so what, but it was so significant to me because God so blessed us in everything that we did. It was just our cups were running over. It was not that we felt, yes, this was tough, this was hard. It was really, you hear the stories of missions that's really tough in its own, but this missions was really, it was just such a blessing in our coming, in our going. Whatever we did, we just felt so blessed. And it's just amazing how God's provision was there for every situation, for everywhere we went. We just had word for people. People got saved, and it was just, like they said, the people responded in such an amazing way. Their joy was overwhelming because you have an expectation, you have something in your heart that you go with, but it's just blown away because you think in your mind how it should be or how it will be, but then it is just so not what you expect, and it's just so amazing. You can just sit back and praise the Lord because it's something that you cannot manufacture. It's not something you can put together as a human being, because circumstances, relationships, and everything works together for just the honor of God. And it was literally walking into somebody else's house and feeling like family immediately. And it was so amazing that I'm actually sharing now Pastor Carl's story, but when they first went into the church the first time that morning, it was really something that touched the hearts, the worship, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And like he said it himself, he wanted to start crying, but not a soft, teary cry. He wanted to cry out and just, "Heil, it's not in trane." And it was really something that arrested him, his soul. And he shared it within at the campsite when they got back the evening, the later on. But also when the pastor, Yaku, now from Swakop, he's quite a big, tough boersien, and he's, yeah, it sounds good, let's go. And the very next day, I think, we went for the leadership training. They were still talking things of the mission, and when they entered in, they just got quiet because they realized there's a presence here and something that touched their hearts, and God just arrested his soul as well, and he said, "I know what you mean." And it's just amazing how God's presence just goes and just takes control and just allows you to experience his love and his grace in such a new and amazing way that you will not always experience here in church. And that was such a blessing for us, for all the people that went on missions. It was an amazing, amazing testimony as well for the people that we met, the people that got saved, just the amazing stories. And it's something that really captured my soul as well, was the one church that I went to specifically. It's about 10 kilometers outside of town. And the head pastor there is Pastor Dixon and his wife, and they're in their 50s. And they drive with their bicycles to church. They don't have cars, so if they want to go to church, they need to drive their bicycles. Nobody in church has a car that I saw. So if they go to church, they ride their bicycles. And that was, to me, such an amazing thing, because we take so for granted coming to church, because the ones that don't have cars and don't know drive on their own, it is something, it's a privilege, I mean, for the youth as well, being driven here. It was just an amazing testimony for me that this grandpa, he's a grandpa, he's got kids by the dozens and grandchildren by the dozens, and him and his wife go to church on their bicycles every morning, and he says the rainy season is the toughest time, because then it's wind and rain and it's mud, and it's really tough. But he does it with a smile on his face, and he's there every Sunday. He doesn't get up and think, "Oh, Lord, I don't want to go to church today. I just don't feel like it." And it was just something that that showed me that these people are on another level. They appreciate the things of God in such a way that I could not. I realized, yes, how blessed and what's the word? Spoiled I am. And for me, it was really such an amazing journey just to see the joy on these people, just the way that you experience them, and you walk in this family, and when we left the last evening, they were literally crying and saying, "Yo, it's so hard to see you go because we felt so in love with you. We just love you. We just don't want to let you go, but we understand it's not. We don't say goodbye. We say until we see you again, because we will see you again. We know it." And it was just their heart, and this is just something that was so, so blessed. I can't explain it in other words, but it was so amazing just how God's mercy and blessing and everything just went with us and with the people that was there. I mean, because some of those people are literally very, very poor. They've got nothing. They don't have shoes. The clothes are very shabby. But they are there. I remember this one lady. I can't judge her age, but I think she's quite old. But she's got this amazing joy and presence about her, because she will greet you. She will come to you and say, "Yes, you are blessed in the name of the Lord." Almost make me think of somebody else around here. Auntie Doris, I think you guys would have loved each other's company. But she so reminded me of you. So it was really, and just the way that she does things, she just has a joy that you can't believe. And I mean, it's also her place where she lives. It was, I saw the villages, but her village was different. There was something else about it, and I just knew, okay, Lord, you touch this place in a supernatural way, because the houses look different, the ground looks different, and it's full of life. You can feel the energy. And then you go to another village and you feel the death and destruction, the dryness because of the drought, and you think, yes, Lord, these places are about 5 kilometers away from each other. Is it even, if it's even five, it's probably two. And there's such a big difference between the two places. And it was just that, you can just know that God has touched these people's lives. And I think the one thing, that's also what my sermon is, or the word that I want to bring you about, is just the unity. And that was what the mission team, I would almost say the motto was. And that was the unity that we felt for each other. We had one purpose, one goal, and we wanted to go and serve where we can. And every person's heart was united in that common goal. And it was really, the people knew where they were supposed to be. They knew what they were supposed to do. They knew where they were supposed to be. When we divided the groups were always in such a way, it was just, you knew that group was safe. There was nothing that, oh, Lord, we need one more person or this or that. It was just, the people were so in tune and knew what was going. You just knew, okay, you can send them. You're happy. You don't have that unease in your spirit. You just have that peace and that excitement and that expectation. And there was a lot of expectation, because you don't know what to expect. And then and the first day is this, and you think, wow. And the second day it's, wow. And the third day is, whoa, Lord, you are awesome. And it's really just the way that God worked. And it was, I can just stand in awe of how he did it, what he did. And it's just something that we always, in Psalm 130, 33, it was something that if we repeated it 20 times on the missions, it would have been a few. But it was so in tune with what we did and where we went. And we can just read it from verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head running down to the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descends upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord command the blessing, even life forevermore. And that's literally what I felt for this missions. There was such a unity that it commanded a blessing from the Lord. Wherever we went, whatever we did, there was a blessing. And the people that we came in contact to was blessed, and the people blessed us. And it was a blessing. I cannot describe it in any other way. But it was so amazing just to experience that. And it was something that, there's something that so special about missions as well. So many of your faces I know, some of your names I know, but most of your names I don't know, and some I just know the name, but I don't know the person, I don't know who you are, I don't know your testimony. And that was such a lovely place to share our testimonies, because you listen to this person and think, sure, that is amazing. And it's so amazing because it is literally, you listen to somebody's testimony, like Richard Morbach. He was there from Swakop. And last year, he had an accident and he broke his back. But God just healed him. He could walk around. He was literally carrying pots around that he was not supposed to. We would just shout, Richard, put it down, put it down. He said, I already lifted it up. I'm just going to put it down where I want to put it down. And it was just amazing to see him. It's basically his faith in action, the way he does things. And it was so amazing just to have that concept, because as I was thinking about this and what I want to share, we had a unity session for missions video before we went on missions. And in that, there was a video where the soldiers of the old times, they basically had shields. And when they would approach the enemy or attack the enemy, they would be open to attack from bow fire. And what they would do is they would block their shields together, even as the Romans did. Their shields would form like almost like, they called it tortoise. There would shields be in the front, around the back, and even over the head. So there was no way anything could get in there. And literally the shields are basically locked together. And I just saw this shield, or this picture of shields locking together. And that shield so is in line with our faith. Because as it says in Ephesians, when we look at the armor that we are supposed to put on every day, we read in Ephesians 6 from verse 13 to 18, therefore take to yourselves the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done that all, to stand. Therefore stand, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching to this very thing with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And this shield for me was such an example of what our testimonies are. And that's part of our faith, because that's literally the faith that we walked in, that we can testify of. And that is something that the enemy cannot take. He cannot penetrate that testimony, because it's there. You are able to speak it. And when you listen to all the testimonies on missions, you just see this big shield, all these shields locking together, coming together, forming one barrier, and you know that you are covered. From your brother, your sister that's going along, and the testimonies are there, and it's just amazing, because it's so amazing just that faith that you put out, and you know what you're going to do, or you don't know what you're going to do, but you say, Lord, I have no idea what the situation is going to do, but let's go. I mean, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes people that aren't able to walk, they ask you to pray for them. You think, Lord, I cannot do this. I cannot pray for them to walk. This is you. If they don't walk, what can I do? I can only pray and say, God, thank you that we can pray for you. And there were other amazing testimonies of people that I think literally got healed. And that is just something that you know that God is working in you. And that was what we basically went out as a unit. And that unity in us just was amazing to see and just experience as well. And that is something that is not only on missions, but for us as church is so critical, because we are forming part of a greater body. We cannot be separate units. Ernst is just a keyboard. He wants to play the keyboard. He doesn't want to do anything else. So if you want him to play in church, he just wants to play keyboard. He doesn't want to play with the other people. Now that is an example of what we have to do and how we have to connect. And that is something that we as a church have to realize, that we are a body that's formed up of many parts and come together, and we have to do that. Okay, the youth has to go. The ones that have to go, please go quietly. I know you don't want to go. Okay, but that unity, that body, that single body, we basically read in 1 Corinthians 12, from verse 13 to 18. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? if all the body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If all hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And that just speaks that God has designed us to be as a body, as a big corporate body that basically locks together. Everybody has a specific purpose, a specific gifting that you're able to bring together and just bring that to the house of the Lord and bring it into submission of the Lord, and he can use you. Because so many times I know from my life, I was sitting here in church and I was just coming to church, just receiving and leaving again. But that is not what we are called to be. We are called to be a body that works, that does something. And that specifically is to take the word of God, to take the love that we have for one another, and to take it to the people around them, which I think that Cornelia also shared on, because that is something that people saw in us when we were on missions. They saw the love in us for each other. And you also felt the love from the people in the churches that we went to visit. And it was something that just binded us together, that made us to have one voice that we can speak, and people could see, but okay, you are from the church of Zimba and you're from somewhere else, but it seems like you're the same church, so what's going on here? And that was just such an amazing experience to see that people there have exactly the same spirit, they have exactly the same way of worship. And even more so because you go to a church that does not have musical instruments, they just have a drum and their voices. And that's one thing about love about African people. Their voices are so strong and so amazing. So I think we must start worship where we just take our instruments away and we just have voices. It will be a challenge, but once you get it right, that is something just resonates in your heart. And you think, oh my God, this is amazing. And that is something that unity is also basically in that voices, because you have to listen to the other people. You have to harmonize. You have to know, I'm not a musical person, but I know something about harmony, and you can't just start singing and expect everybody to follow. Leanne will start singing and I would just say, Tata Leanne, I can't follow where you are going. And you just have to come into that one place, the one place where you meet each other and you say, this is where we can all sing the same harmony, the same voice. And it's just such an amazing testimony of what we are supposed to be as a unit and how we are supposed to stand in unity. And that is something that God just shows in himself, that he is one. Now, this is a physical characteristics that I, as an engineer, always, I like to understand things and like to put things in boxes and say, okay, this is how it works, that's what it does. But when you look at God and just the Godhead, God being God, the Holy Spirit being there, the Son, it is just something that does not make sense to me. In my physical understanding, it does not make sense. I cannot connect, I cannot understand, I cannot comprehend. But in a spiritual sense, I understand, because God is there and his Holy Spirit is there, and he used his Son that came to earth to set us free, and they are all one. And we can read that in John 10 from verse 27 to John 10, 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and not anyone shall pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And that's just how Jesus explains it to us. He is one. And we can go further where he basically says, we're in Corinthians, where he basically said that when you do these to these people, to the lesser people, where you've given them food, where you've given them encouragement, so you've done to me, where you've given them clothes, where they were naked, when you've done to these ones, so you have done to me. And that's just the way that God works. Because we as a unit also build up each other. We influence each other. And we just give each other that extra space just to grow. Because we are all not perfect. If we were based on our lives in the past, we would just fail miserably. But because there's enabling grace, something that gives us that amazing capacity to accept God's love and also love him in return and love the people around us, because that's one of the things that so stood out for me in Bible school, was that God draws the people to himself, which he created, and inside us the desire to know God, to be with God, and the Holy Spirit convicts the people of that knowledge, and they just feel that conviction and they know they're supposed to do something, and Jesus saves, because that is what he did on the cross for us. And we as the people of God are just supposed to love those people, even in the church, even in the world out there. Because so many people do not understand this love. They cannot comprehend it. They do not know how to accept this because they're so, image driven. It's not image, it is there's no word that I'm missing. But you do one thing, you get another thing in return. So I don't know what that word is. I forgot now. Okay, it will come back to me, but I think you get my meaning. And that's basically just not the way that God works. Reward-driven, there's the word. Thank you, Leanne. And God is not into rewarding people. He's into loving people. And we must have that same heart, that same purpose in our hearts. And that is something that we were able to live out in missions. And that is something that you know, you touch people's hearts. You know you're making a difference here. That was so obvious to me when we went to this one village where I said that you basically see in this one woman's village the blessing. If the buildings look different, there's life. It's not just, you don't feel the death and the destruction. But then we went to another village and there I literally walked and I think, yo, this is dry. And I just feel almost like death hanging there, and it's, you think, where's the water coming from? Where's the water in this village? I don't know where they get the water because everything seems so dry, but there must be a well somewhere, but I don't see the well anywhere. And then we went to visit this old lady that is part of the church that we visited, and we were going to basically just have fellowship with her and build her up. And then we go and she comes and greets us, and she's quite old. And so we go and sit underneath the tree in the shade, and there's large branches set up in the ground. I think it's for seating. I'm not sure if it's for animals being tied there or anything, but we basically go there and sit, and then we start talking with the lady, and she can only speak Tongan, so the interpreter is there with us, constantly interpreting what she says, what we say. And as we start speaking, he says, no, she's in my church. She comes regularly. And then all of a sudden, you just see this man coming here, and he also sits there. And you see the children coming because they see this white man and think, they are very curious. They want to come and listen to this guy. And they also sit there. And then the lady comes, and she also sits there. And now you start asking questions, and you listen. And then you hear this is the lady's son and his wife and their children. And just as I'm speaking to the lady, I can just see him. And I just experience that death, that dryness. And it so coincides with what I feel in the natural and see in the natural. And as we are speaking, my focus just shifts off the lady. And I start focusing on the gentleman. I just ask him, his name is Kenny. And I just have these questions that I start asking him. And I ask him, and I just know that the Lord wants to use him. I just know the Lord wants to convert him. And as you speak now, you listen, he's not saved. And then you have the privilege of sharing the gospel of Jesus. And you're able to come to him in a place of where it's a natural circumstances, but it has spiritual significance, because you're able to explain to him his natural circumstances is something that he is currently experiencing, but also in the spiritual. And we were so blessed to be able to lead him to the Lord, give him salvation, his wife as well. And it was just such an amazing experience, because I see this man as a spiritual tree in that village. And I just have that expectation. So when I go back there next year, I have an expectation of seeing the blessing in this man's life, seeing the change in his life, seeing something different in the village where he lives, in his family. And I mean, he was quite, I would say, poor, because he had no shoes, his clothes were really shabby, and you could see in his countenance, he was down. There was no light, there was no life. It was just, it's another day, it's another dry day, there's almost nothing to see. And I just have the expectation of going back and seeing what the Lord has done in this man's life. And I'm so looking forward to seeing that, how he's changed, and that I know the Lord has changed him. And that is what the expectation I have, to go and see what Kenny and his wife is doing next year. And that is so amazing, because that is a unity that starts at the family, at a family level. And we can see from Ephesians 5, from verse 23 to 25, that unity is not only meant for church, but family. And that's where the smallest unit of church basically starts, is in the family. And where there's unity in that family, it overflows into the church. And sometimes it does flow backwards as well, where that unity is not. And so many families are broken and destitute and does not understand the meaning of unity, love and respect. And that is something that you can only get from God. That is something you can understand from His love and the way that He has treated you, the way that He loves you unconditionally. It's just something that God can reveal to you and in your family as well. Let's just read there from verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject to Christ. So let the wives be subject. Let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. And it's always such a beautiful picture of me for how a husband and wife should be. That the wife should not be a slave, submitting to her husband, doing everything that he says. But the husband is somebody that she honors and respects. And that works the same way as well. He would give his life for her. Whatever she requires, he will do his utmost to give whatever she does. And that unity also flows into Christ that we see from Ephesians 3 from verse 14 to 21. For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that we would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, amen, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages forever. Amen. And that's just the love of Christ that brings us into unity. That is the love of Christ that we are here today, and that just gives us an expectation, ability, and just empowers us to go out to the world and be just in unity with one another. And that unity is love, and that love we can take to the world that so desperately needs it, and just that we're able to live where God directs us, and we as a body are able to flow and walk. Even as we went on missions, it was not just let's go to missions now. There was preparation for it. Our hearts were prepared. People were prepared. There were lots of admin and things that had to happen. And everybody working together for one single purpose and one single goal. That is just living out what God has commanded us to do, to go into the nations, to preach the good news to the poor, and to set the captives free. And that was just such an awesome privilege of being part of that on the missions team, and just being able to share His love and just to share His word with you as well. Amen. Okay, let's just close our eyes quickly. Everybody, please stand. Father God, we just want to come today, Lord, before you, Father, and just say thank you, Lord, that you want to ground us together, Father, like that amazing view of being grounded in love, Lord God. When we are grounded, Father, together, Lord, we form something special, Lord God. When we come together and bring all of our expectations, Lord God, all of our giftings, all of our purposes together, Father, we form something that's so unique and so special, Lord God, that even in the song that we sang previously, Lord, what if we trust in you, Father, if we give you everything, Lord God, that you would not disappoint us, Lord God. For you love us so much, Lord God, that you gave your only Son, Father, to die on the cross for our sins, that we might be set free, Father, that we do not have to be punished, that we do not have to go through that same punishment, Lord God, of dying, Lord God. And just knowing, Father, that you wanted to set us free, Lord. You wanted us to have life and life in abundance, Lord God, and fullness of life, not being here in circumstances, Lord God, that wants to break our very being, our very fiber, Lord God, that wants to tell us we're worth nothing, we're useless, Lord. And this world so wants to come and break down, Father, that which you have created, Lord, of coming into relationship with you, Father, Lord. We just ask, Lord, you would you open our eyes, Lord, to the people around us, Lord, that we are able to see, Lord God, where your love is required, Father, and we become part of that body, Lord, that goes out, Lord, to bring your love to those that have need of it, Lord God, that wants to understand but doesn't understand, Lord God. Father God, we thank you for the glory, Lord, that of just being in your presence, Lord, coming into your house, hearing your word, Father, and more than that, Lord, reacting to your word, Father, receiving your word and taking it to those that require it as well, Father. We just thank you for the privilege, Lord, of giving you the glory, Lord, giving you the honor, Father, worshiping you and praising you, Father, in spirit and in truth, Father, for all that you are. We just thank you, Lord, for your word that is in our hearts. And just your word, Father, is a testimony of your love for us, Lord God. And Lord, we just want to give you the honor. We want to give you the glory and ask that you guide us, Lord. Where you lead, we will follow, Lord. Where you send us, Father, we will go. And we just thank you, Lord, for the privilege of going, Father. Being your feet, Lord. Being your hands, Lord. Being able just to give hope to those that are unhopeless, Lord. Father, we thank you for your love, Lord, that enables us, Lord. It just gives us abundantly beyond whatever we can think of, Lord. It is there for us to receive. If there's anybody here that does not know the Lord yet, you have not made that decision, you have not given your life fully to Christ, I just want to invite you where you stand, just to raise your hand and acknowledge God and just give him the honor and say, Lord, I want to know you in this way. I want to know you the way that I've heard people experience your love. I want to have that test in me in my own life.